So I'm going to be talking about our pilot work. I just want to share that this is a team effort. It's not just me. And in particular, I want to acknowledge the contributions of Karen Hilton and Jessica Harwood, who could not attend the meeting. But I wouldn't be doing this presentation without them. And the other co-authors are Tim Cordage from LAUSD, the Los Angeles Unified School District, and David, of course. So just no relationships to disclose. These are our affiliations. So it really, truly is a team effort across universities and LAUSD. So how did I'm a research psychologist, a community psychologist by training. How did I get involved with AMP? Well, I will say that David approached me to collaborate on research to really examine the efficacy of AMP. And I was really intrigued about an arts-based sexual health intervention that reached high school students by enabling college students to develop and share sexual health messages, including HIV and STI prevention. And most of my work is on developing behavioral interventions to prevent HIV. I focus on at-risk adolescent populations, mostly homeless youth. And so I was really intrigued by this intervention. And for most of my work, I have a slightly different lens. I'm really interested in family-based interventions, so I work a lot with parents. So this intervention was very intriguing to me. So I thought, okay, trying to do work with high school students, having college students deliver the intervention. I was both curious and also a little skeptical. But David convinced me to come and see a performance of the intervention. So I did go to a performance at a local high school, and when I first observed, just sitting in the auditorium at the performance, I observed that you can only see the back of the students in the slide, but when many of the students came into the classroom, they really came in rather reluctantly. They sat down, many of them pulled their hoods over their heads, some put their heads down on the desk. Most of them were kind of looking straight ahead with that insolent expression that is so characteristic of adolescents. You know, that expression they had that kind of dismisses everything, and everyone is so beneath them. And I'm the parent of a 20-year-old, so I know that expression really well. And then you also get the students who are kind of making jokes, they're laughing, they're giggling, and most of them are kind of embarrassed because we're going to be talking about sex. But as soon as the performance began, the kids start to get engaged. And if you look down in the corner, you can see the girls there. They're smiling. They're like the kids in that classroom from the clip that David showed you. So the kids started looking at the performance. Their hoods came off. Their insolent expressions disappeared. They began to nod. They smiled. They laughed. They got into the music. They were really visibly engaged and tuned in to what was going on in the performance. And that engagement of those high school students was really the draw for getting me to collaborate with David and his team. So those of us who test and develop behavioral interventions know that engagement of participants is really key. It's a key component for the success or the efficacy of the intervention. So today I'm going to talk about the pilot data. So I will tell you, I am a quantitative researcher, but seeing this intervention was so emotionally engaging for me that it really got me thinking, wow, this is really cool. It seems to be working, so how do we begin to determine, you know, if it's efficacious, if it really can work, and if we can begin to disseminate it? So I'm going to talk a little bit about the design. We did a randomized controlled trial in 6 high schools. Health classes were randomly assigned to 1 of 3 conditions, the AMP Live, which is the four component piece that David showed to you, AMP Virtual, which is a condensed media-based version of the AMP program, and there's no arts-making component to it, so they're not using condoms to create art. And then the control condition was just the regular health education class that students attended. And we randomized at the school level. And so what we were really interested in understanding was were two outcomes, the impact of AMP on HIV/AIDS knowledge, and also the impact on HIV testing for students who are sexually active. So we did three comparisons. We compared AMP live to the control. We compared AMP virtual to the control, and we compared AMP live to AMP virtual. So our sample for this presentation, it's 471 students in health classes. Most of these students, the average age was pretty close to 16, so they're not kind of the early adolescent, they're not late, they're kind of right in the middle. Most of these adolescents are racial and ethnic minority youth, because this is done in Los Angeles County, mostly Latino American, African American, and Asian American. And most of these students are poor. And by poor, I mean they're students who are eligible for free or reduced lunch at school. So really the sample of adolescents, I think it's I won't say representative, but it's a cross-section of the population of young people in the U.S. who are most at risk for HIV infection and transmission. If you look at CDC data on adolescents, adolescents of color, in particular Latino and African American, adolescents are those who are most at risk. So we did a pre and post assessment. The assessments, the pre and post were done at the beginning and end of the health class. The assessments were self-administered. These were pen and paper questionnaires. So students were queried about their demographics, their sexual practices and behavior, substance use, HIV testing, and knowledge of HIV/AIDS. So all the data are self-report data. And we do use the Youth Risk Behavior Survey because that's administered in high schools through the CDC. So it gives us data that's comparable to adolescents from throughout the United States. And I will say this is a school-based sample of adolescents. So I'm not going to, for the sake of time, go through all the data, but I thought, because I'm here at APHA, I will throw those nice tables with some data on them up there for you to see them. And if you have questions, I can go into detail with questions. And these are just tables of the demographics that I just commented on for each of the comparison groups. So what we did was we examined whether AMP led to changes in HIV, AIDS knowledge and HIV testing, and again, just for sexually active adolescents. So we initially looked at significant differences in the baseline demographics between the three conditions. Next, we compared the change. We looked at change in outcome measures. So a little slightly more rigorous, just not looking pre-post, but actually looking at change between the pre- and post-assessments, and we used logistic regression. Again, if you want all the detail, I can certainly share it with you later. We created subsets to make pairwise comparisons between the intervention conditions. So just comparing, again, live versus control, live versus virtual, and virtual versus control. And so we... I'm going to use the word control a lot, so just in the next couple of minutes. So we controlled for baseline characteristics that differed significantly between conditions. So for live versus control, we accounted for, controlled for whether black, African-American ethnicity and lifetime marijuana use. For the live versus virtual, we looked at Latino-American and ever if they were ever taught AIDS, HIV in school. And for virtual versus controlled, we controlled for Latino American, controlled for gender, lifetime marijuana use, and taught about HIV/AIDS. It's just because when we looked at those differences between the groups, these are how the groups differed, so we wanted to account for that in our analysis. What we found was we found that there were significant differences between the AMP live and control group around increasing HIV knowledge. So HIV knowledge for the AMP live condition was about 2 points larger than the control condition. And that's using logistical regression. That's a pretty big difference, that's what I will say. There were no significant differences for the AMP live and AMP between AMP Live and AMP Virtual or between AMP Virtual and the control. And we did not see any significant differences among sexually active youth on HIV testing. So implications. I think that one of the major implications is that sexual health promotion is possible through arts-based interventions such as AMP. There's been a real move away from behavioral interventions. There's kind of a move and not as much support for these types of arts-based interventions. But I think for young people, they work and they're engaging. So they really can increase knowledge. And I think that they also have the potential for us to really begin to think about ways to teach kind of sexual health, so safe sexual practices and behaviors. The messaging for testing for HIV and other STIs really needs further development in the AMP intervention. We've talked about this among ourselves. We do believe that testing should be an integral part of sexual health promotion for sexually active youth, especially youth of color. So thank you.